about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's like that movie Ice Castles, where the small town girl with big talent gets lured into this world of skating competitions, and then she goes blind, and then she's the skate blind, and she does, and then there are all these roses, but she can't see them.
Everybody that's sitting at home is a bored mother. Nothing to do with their life, so they're literally sitting at home while I'm living a great life. You know, I got popping and like that. If you ain't got haters, you ain't popping.
I don't want anything else today to get as tense as that just got.
And now.
Okay, you two. Make love to my ears. Bareback, baby. No Jimmy.
Dog, dog.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know that I want to do that at all. Mm-mm. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 18th of April.
Guys, if you ain't got haters, you ain't popping.
I've lived my life by that.
That's what I've learned.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've learned. Hey, Ellie.
Hey, Bean.
Who's popping more than Bean, though, right?
Right.
Right. I get that you love James from Jeopardy. I understand that.
Yeah.
But you can't take a whole day off just so you can sit on the couch and wait for 7 p.m. for the show to come on.
I can, though. And I did. Is the thing.
You're designing your entire life around that 30 minutes at night now, yeah. Just so you and your sweet James can be back together.
Yeah. I
you start sobbing when it gets to the last part of it? Like, oh no, I have to wait.
Like Final Jeopardy,
hours.
She's like, it's almost over.
Well, it's a roller coaster, as you know, because usually Final Jeopardy is like, oh my God, he did it again. You're so high on that for a while.
Sure. Oh yeah, high and then, on that, sure.
Yeah, it sinks in that you've got another 24 hours to wait.
Oof. It's got to be devastating.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How much did you win yesterday?
I'll get into that later. Just know.
Do we want you to get into that later?
No, because it's huge.
Okay.
I was hoping to take care of it now and then just move on.
Oh, no. No. It was a huge night on Jeopardy, you guys.
Okay.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, the stock markets are closed today. All post offices closed. Yeah, no, I know.
No, it's a federal holiday. Obviously. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big deal. Okay. Is all
so
I'm saying.
So I won't ask you to give any of that away because clearly that's the tease to get people to listen later to the Jeopardy update.
Right.
But it seems like you started out, like most of us, being horrified by James because he's animatronic. But now I feel like you're falling in love with him.
I'm not falling in love. I love him for reasons that you love winners. It's just that simple. But he's also learning how to smile a little bit.
Oh, that's sweet.
He's making strides. He's being very like Chatty Cathy with Alex Trebek. So you're getting to see little glimpses of personality.
Who needs to learn how to smile?
Somebody that doesn't know how to smile because he might be a robot. Mm-hmm. But he is. The walls are slowly breaking down in front of us.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're getting to know the real James.
This is the most realistic artificial intelligence I think we've ever seen on TV. I mean, they've really, really, I wouldn't say perfected it, but they're definitely in the right direction.
He's a real human. He's actually not a robot.
I don't think so. I think this is Westworld Jeopardy crossover.
You're right.
He's a human.
Speaking of robots, you guys, we do these stories from time to time about people who fall in love with inanimate objects.
Oh, love those.
Here's a man in love with a robot has revealed that they are planning to get married.
Yes.
His name is Joey Morris. He fell head over heels with Robotroll almost 2 years ago after being drawn to his satisfied smile and popping pink hair.
Yes.
Now, Robotroll is you remember the old troll dolls that used to have the brilliant shock of like pink or green hair or something like that shooting straight up from
the
head.
A little Buddha belly.
Yeah. Well, this one is a little robot. It's unclear whether it does anything, whether it, you know, he can wind it up and watch it move or anything like that, or if it talks to him. But it looks like just a little toy that you'd have on a shelf and never give another thought. He is in love with him, though. Joey is 29 years old. He has dated other objects in the past. He once dated a lamp.
That's sweet.
Yeah. He realized when he was 10 years old, he was drawn to objects. He wanted to become friends with a lamp at school. But the teacher found out about our relationship, he says, and took the lamp away.
Oh,
and I was distraught.
That's rough.
Wow.
Over the next few years, I fell in love with an animatronic called Dawn of the Dead, and also with the Transformer Olympus Prime, excuse me, Optimus Prime, when he was in truck form.
Okay.
However, my love for these objects never lasted as long as my love for Robotrol, who is my current primary love. I ordered him from eBay for $20 and received him in December of 2017, and that's when our relationship truly began. Now I'm looking forward to my future with Robotrol. I'm going to take him with me on holiday to Orlando, Florida, and a wedding could be in the cards one day.
Yes. Stop making my sons horny. Good point.
He found Robotrol while doing research into a line of battle trolls to satisfy his interest in 90s nostalgia. By the way, quick question, you guys. Is this a mental illness, or is this another?
Yes.
Or is this another?
Why do you hate love?
No, I'm just asking, is this another legitimate, like, this is hardwired into his brain to be in love with objects, and he can't stop it?
I mean, I don't know that we can guess that from what we've gotten so far.
I feel like those are intertwined.
Yeah, exactly. That's also a point of pedophiles. They say, this is how I am. I just love having sex with children. Mm-hmm. Is that a mental illness?
Well, don't pull that, please.
Yeah, don't. We don't need that.
Maybe leave that one.
You know what I'm saying? This is a mental illness.
No, it is. And I don't know the answer to that question.
No, I'm telling you right now. It's a mental illness.
But we don't know the answer to that.
I mean, it could be terrorists.
Right.
There's no conversing with an object. There's no connection with an object.
Guys, why do you hate love? This guy is in love. He's happy. Mm-hmm. Let him be happy.
He can absolutely be happy.
It's so specific that he only likes the Transformer in the vehicle
form. The truck.
Yeah.
He doesn't like it when it's a Transformer robot.
Yeah.
Don't change.
Please don't change.
The website he was looking at showed him the entire collection of trolls. When I saw Robotrol, I was smitten. I think it was his expression that attracted me to him. And while most of the other battle trolls snarled, Robotrol seems to have a little smile. His blue eyes matched his silver and blue color scheme and made the pink hair really pop. I knew it was love because it made my heart feel right. In case you're wondering, by the way, Joey is extremely comfortable with his sexuality, but he says some friends and family do not agree with it. I'm very lucky as my friends and some members of my family accept my sexuality, even though they make joke comments about it, but my mother doesn't really understand my feelings. Well, that'd be a tough one for mom.
Yes, it would.
I think.
How's your son? Oh, he's fine. Great, fine. What else?
I try to ignore people who disagree and distance myself from them as I'm very happy in my relationship with Robotrol. I find it easier to form romantic bonds with objects rather than people, so I'm happy with my sexuality, says James. And then the next link is to a woman who's in love with a guy, a fictional robot on Jeopardy. So I haven't read that article yet. But
wait, what?
Apparently that's...
I can probably tell you that one.
Apparently that's happening too.
Yeah.
So we're just going to wish him well?
Sure.
It's not hurting anybody. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Joey is into it.
Okay.
Yeah. Marry your Robotrol.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if that's what makes you happy.
Sure.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You remind me today of a small Mexican chihuahua.
Chihuahua?
We're going to bring you news that's crushing me, which is that the Tupac hologram was none of the above.
Tupac nor a hologram?
Correct.
Thanks, Jensen.
No worries.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks for spoiling that.
I mean, why so soon also?
Pretty shocked. Fast food report on the program today.
Yeah, I got some good ones.
Jensen also has Get Up on This. We're going to work on our rap skills some more as the battle approaches. It's a week from tomorrow.
It is a week from tomorrow, and we are nowhere near prepared for this. Jensen assigned us homework. You know, he's our coach, like he is on his TBS TV show. Drop the mic. And... Allie, I don't know if you know this, but he asked us to write a diss track, basically, about somebody on the program.
Oh.
And we both chose you, so that's going to be fun.
Wait, really?
No.
I'm like, wow.
I was like, Dean chose her too? This is crazy.
No, we fought over you and then decided to go in a different direction.
Oh, man.
But I'm worried that Chip and I would no longer be friends. This is my concern.
Oh, that's good. That's a good sign.
It's not a good sign.
That means you're doing what you're supposed to do, though.
Yeah. No, but Chip is one of my only friends.
It's a shame your ISDN will never work again after today.
Oh, no.
And Jensen, maybe there's a talk you can give us at the beginning of that segment just to let everybody know that it's just acting.
Yes.
It's not real. It's not personal.
Yes. These people will bring the heat, but the fire will not affect you.
Okay, good. I'm nervous about it. Kevin, how'd you do rating yours last
night?
I
have no idea. It makes me laugh.
Okay.
No idea.
And we'll do it a cappella. We're going to do it like the real battles nowadays.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
We have tickets to April Foolishness as well, and Garbage will be in studio.
Oh, they're so great. Garbage.
Oh, I thought you meant your battles.
Garbage the band.
Oh, okay.
We'll be in studio. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Here's a little secret to the listeners now, because you know the show doesn't actually go live to regular people until 6.
Right.
So if you're listening right now, you're part of the secret club.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving away Universal Studios Hollywood tickets all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including in about 15 minutes. About 15 minutes from right now, you can win yours. And you can go to KROQ.com for a chance to win Universal Studios Hollywood California Neighbor Passes as well. So we are hooking you up all week long here on KROQ. Allie, welcome back. We missed you.
Thanks, Bean. Listen, my phone has been ringing off the hook. Tons of emails, like 800 tweets just since the open of the show.
Wow, that's crazy.
Are you going to tell us about Jeopardy? How long do I have to wait? To which I say, yeah, I'll tell you, you guys. James Holzhauer, he's the guy that everybody's watching, right? He just won his 10th game in a row, which, big deal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people win 10.
Remember when I told you last week that he beat the single day record, which was 77,000?
My God, we were excited when that happened.
Yeah.
But he beat it with $110,914. This was last week, and we were like, that's a beating. Like, that's a huge number that he beat it by. What if I were to tell you that last night, James Holzhauer beat his own record? Thank you. Thank you. I mean, no. I started this a while ago, so it's not really breaking news right now. He beat his... Okay. Uh-huh. Yep, he beat his own record that he set last week, last night.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just letting you know, it was 77,000. He beat it with 110,000. Last night, he beat that $110,000 win with $131,127. You guys, do you understand how huge that is?
Hello, Canada.
I mean, 131,000 in one game.
Sorry, we're out of time.
You guys aren't understanding. You're not grasping how
I mean, he
huge
made a lot of money. Okay.
In
good for
one
him.
Game.
Right.
80 new.
Oh.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care. We don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Don't care. Oh, God. Don't care. Don't care.
You should. Just to put this into focus.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Jennings. 74 wins straight. His winnings in that 74 wins totaled $2.5 million. It's a lot, right?
Yeah.
Would you like to know what James has just in 10 days?
If I say no, do you not say it?
$697,787 in 10 days.
Right.
He's gonna whoop Ken Jennings' ass. He might not even
how
get
how many more nights does he have to play to get past Ken Jennings'
it doesn't,
number?
That's not a thing. Like, how many nights? Because he's already at 600. He's almost at $700,000 in 10 days.
Right.
I just told you it took 74 games for Ken Jennings to get to $2.5 million. I'm no mathematician, but he's going to do it like by Wednesday.
It bores the living hell out of me.
All right.
I just hope they keep him charged when he's not on the show.
You know, he's just
right in the middle.
Yeah. That would be embarrassing if he wound down during the show.
I'm just saying, this is a huge, huge story, and we're on the forefront. And I want everyone to know that you can tune in tonight to watch James. Right, 7 o'clock, Channel 7.
Wow, you are an enormous loser.
It's gonna be.
Been a long time.
Oh, man. That kind of felt good. I'm not going to lie. All right, you guys. I've got some SNL news. Saturday Night Live has enlisted Emma Thompson to host the May 11th episode.
I'm so in love with her.
Oh, who isn't?
And have been my whole adult life.
She's amazing.
She's amazing.
And she will be joined with musical guests, the recently reunited Jonas Brothers. Not bad. And then the SNL season finale airing the following week on May 18th. The host? Oh, just Paul Rudd.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
And joined by musical guest DJ Khaled.
Wait, who?
McDonald's. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. We loving it.
Okay. Got it. I mean, come on. Finale? Paul Rudd's got to be like, this blows.
That's a major key.
Agreed. It's ridiculous. Ugh. And don't forget that former SNL cast member Adam Sandler is going to return to host the show for the first time ever on May 4th with musical guest Shawn Mendes, which that's a huge deal right
That'd
there.
Be amazing, wouldn't it?
No, it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to really...
Was Adam Sandler ever on Jeopardy?
He might have been on a Celebrity Jeopardy.
All right.
I was just so happy that Allie got through one whole story without mentioning Jeopardy, and then you had to bring it back, Kevin.
Yeah, you might have been. I should check. You know, Eric Stone Street, our friend from Modern Family, has been on Celebrity Jeopardy.
I did not know that. Yeah,
did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were all the questions for him?
I'm not really sure. I could absolutely look those up for
we'll
you.
We'll wait.
And I will. Don't think I won't, you guys.
You son of a bitch.
Sorry. I mean, back to you.
To the big mouth broad calling in here and then running away.
Who's running? I'm ready to talk Jeopardy all damn day, right? What I'm saying is the money he has already made in 10 games.
Right.
If he just keeps going like he's going, he's going to blow Ken Jennings' number out of the water.
Really?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Oh, no.
Your mic.
Allie's mic?
Oh, no.
I've heard that happen to me before. I've never heard it happen to Allie. That's a
problem. Should I just yell?
No, I mean, no, I don't think it works.
You know what? I think we have to turn that mic off, so you need to finish up real quick so we can try to fix it.
It's running out of batteries. We have to replace the batteries.
I don't think these might. I mean, maybe they do.
They do, yeah.
All right, some birthdays for you. Eric McCormack, Rick Moranis, James Woods, David Tennant, America Ferrera, Eli Roth, Chloe Bennett, and Conan O'Brien.
He is the founder of ISIS.
No,
he's the founder of ISIS.
Incorrect, sir. He is a wonderful man, and I won't let you besmirch his name.
Man, he's just the worst, isn't he?
No, he's wonderful, actually.
He is a dick?
He's not a dick. God damn it, that's what's happening.
I'd like to punch him.
I hope if I go see Foo Fighters next time, they only play 35 minutes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Let's start that again.
Definitely don't want to see
absolutely great
3 hours of Foo Fighters doing the greatest songs ever written.
Well, at least we're together on that, then.
Mm. Bean's not serious, though.
I missed it yesterday, but good Lord, people were tagging me like, you have to hit Jensen in the face right now.
Yeah,
I can't.
Jensen stepped at it.
I mean, you didn't say 35-minute concerts. Limit. That's the limit.
No, I mean, I gave you 45, just so it's
up. You did give us 45, right. just long enough to park and get into the venue.
But he also lowered ticket prices.
Whoop. Sorry.
Remind everyone?
He also lowered ticket prices. Let's not forget that.
The other thing that I will say is that I didn't bring up yesterday that I've thought of since, a lot of different artists can be on one show. So you could be there for 2 hours, but everyone performs for 35 minutes.
Well, that's basically a weenie roaster acoustic Christmas.
I could give you 45.
Yeah, you just me being knocked sweet. It down to 35.
No, but hold on. We weren't talking about festivals like that where you have a bunch of bands.
What's a festival? I just am talking about concerts.
We were talking
world.
About an opener.
He's so right? close.
I don't know. Sorry.
We were talking about an opener and
what
a main
is it?
Act.
Say it again. Fast? Fast?
Allie, punch him in the face.
I only know about concerts in my universe. Many right. artists, 35 minutes.
New topic, you guys. I asked the question... I guess it wasn't even rhetorical. I guess I was asking for your opinion. Do you think that when you take your beloved pet to the veterinarian, that they know they have you by the short and curlies, and that they jack up the prices crazy-like, and that something that probably cost them $100 is costing you $500? Because what are you going to do? Look into those eyes and say no?
100%.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
You love your pet? They know you have no choice? And so they just go, hey, he's stuck. This guy loves his pet. We're going to screw with him.
Linus, my little bulldog, who's almost 11 now, which I think is a factor. It would be a factor in a lot of people's minds as to what to do next. It was uncovered a few weeks ago that he had a tumor in his spleen. Now, it's possible that that tumor is, A, not cancerous. It's also possible that that tumor could rupture and kill him in a day. But it's unlikely. We talked to a couple of different vets. It would be more likely, unless there was trauma, he's not going to rupture it just going up and down the stairs or playing in the yard or whatever. It's not like it's that dangerous, okay?
Is it also possible that it's not a tumor?
It is possible that it is a blood clot, yes. So you
it's
kind
not
of,
a tumor.
So, oh so you kind God. Of. I guess what I'm saying is you
that,
don't.
It was
know.
The lead up that really bothers me now.
Right. Yeah, she was gritting and she was really happy about that. So I guess what I'm saying
Thank
is,
you, Kevin.
On the side, to err on the side of caution would be to just remove it instantly, because why take a chance that it's going to rupture and it's going to kill him?
Right.
But the other side of the equation is he's almost 11 and he's a bulldog. He's already a really advanced age for a bulldog. How likely is it that he's likely to die of regular causes anyway, unrelated to his tumor? So we err on the side of caution. So we take him to the vet and we go through all of the, you know, the ultrasounds and everything like that, which are not inexpensive. And then it comes down to surgery talk. And they tell me that the estimate for the surgery and then his 24 hours of care afterwards at the facility is $4,000 to $4,800.
Wow.
Now, we were talking in the office yesterday, and Omar said, I don't know, I think I'd cap it at about 1,000.
Yeah.
Just put him down.
Yeah.
On his, about his own dog.
I think, yeah, if I had a dog, yeah. $1,000 is a lot of money, and exactly.
It is a lot of money.
I would have to take that into, take that into consideration.
You, at what age is
I'm
that?
I'm thinking puppy.
That's awful.
So Bean spent between $4,000 and $5,000.
For this surgery, wow. Yes. In addition to all of the tests and everything and appointments leading up to, which were several hundred other dollars. Now, when we picked him up yesterday, and by the way, it looks like he's doing fine. We're
excellent
happy to report. But when we picked him up yesterday, they said, well, you didn't cap the whole $4,800. You get $250 back. But that means
yes,
it still cost me
you won.
Still cost me over $40. And I started thinking about look, granted, you're paying a surgeon, in fact. So obviously that her time is very valuable. She makes a lot per hour. And you're dealing with, you know, you're dealing with other medical staff. You're dealing with anesthesia. You're mm-hmm. dealing with medications. There's a lot of stuff you're dealing with. I can't in my mind figure out how to make that add up to over $4,000, though. I really can't.
We have to multiply your result by 10 because they rip you off.
Yeah. And also when you start looking at the stuff, it's like it's the same as hospitals. You look and a Band-Aid was like $15.
Yeah.
It's all jacked
it's
up.
It's absurd.
Bean, can I ask, when we switched over to our new employers, Entercom, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I noticed that they provide pet insurance. Mm-hmm. Did you get pet insurance?
I didn't get pet insurance because I don't know a lot about pet insurance, but everything I've heard about it is the people that have gotten it, they whatever they're in for never gets covered.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like they argue everything is a pre-existing condition, for instance, and how do you prove it's not kind of deal. So I've heard bad reviews of pet insurance.
Okay.
I was wishing I had it yesterday.
Sure.
I'll tell you that.
Sure.
But I just started feeling so bad about the people who literally can't afford it.
Yeah.
People who would just surrender their pet, or worse, there are a-holes who would put their pet down if they were in a situation where they had poor health.
I think if Omar had a pet, it would be different.
I don't know, dude.
I think so.
Maybe, but almost $5,000, that's crazy.
That's a ton.
It is crazy, but we were talking off air. We were saying it's a rip-off industry.
Right. Maybe.
Like, for example, a quick one. When my dad passed away, we had to go.
Oh,
and
your dad's a human, Kevin.
What price should have taken him to a vet either?
He passed away.
What price did you stop at with your dad?
So we
Kevin.
Went to get, you know, a casket and a burial and everything, and they give you the most, you know, the $10,000 casket.
Right.
You go, do you have anything? And then they have a basic model, and then they go, oh, you want that one?
Kevin picked a suitcase.
It's absurd. and it's the same thing. You're there. You're
vulnerable.
Horrified,
yeah.
You're vulnerable,
yeah. Yes.
And they just rip you off because they know what choice do you have.
I don't have a child yet. I will soon. But I think my dog is my child. I don't think there's a price I don't pay. For real.
In other words, if they said they could save your dog's life or make your dog more comfortable, you would pay whatever number they spit out, you would say, well, I guess that's how much it's going to cost.
With him being this age right now, he's still young. He's like 5 years old, 6 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
$50,000.
Puppy Lake.
That song makes me happy, you guys.
And it's Conan O'Brien's birthday, and that's the song he uses for his podcast.
I'm sorry I said anything. In the 7 o'clock hour coming up, we got a good one for you. Jensen's going to introduce us to something new in his weekly Thursday feature called Get Up On This. We also have April Foolishness tickets we're going to be giving to you to join us next Friday night, a week from tomorrow at the Microsoft Theater. We're going to be looking for haikus this time around. We've done all sorts of different kinds of contests in the last couple of weeks. Today it is haikus about April Foolishness coming up in about an hour or so. And the Kevin Bean rap battle rehearsal continues.
Yeah.
I know Jensen is excited about it.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
I'm not so sure about our skill level. I'm not sure we're ready to write and recite our own
I'm
rap
positive
battles
about our skill level. It's way low.
So anyway, all that coming up between 7 and 8. Don't miss it. First, though, hey, it's time for another fast food report. Hit it, Steve.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the fast food report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, Gumshoe.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant Omar. listen, 420 for many fast food restaurants is almost like Valentine's Day for a Hallmark store. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
When stoners partake in a bit of the jazz cigarettes, well, the munchies lead them to many drive-thrus. Hopefully not driving themselves. And this year, their main stop should be Carl's Jr. in Colorado, who on 420 will debut a burger that is infused with CBD.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. It's called the Rocky Mountain High Delight and will feature two beef patties, pickled jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, waffle fries, and 5 milligrams of CBD in their signature Santa Fe sauce. Now, for those who don't know, CBD is the non-psychoactive compound found in marijuana, and it can help with anxiety, pain relief, and many other ailments. How much do you guys think it'll cost?
That's
$4.20. It's an easy question. So the burger is unlikely to get anyone high, unfortunately. But bro, you tell me. Take a bong rip, eat it, or be a total effing narc and beat it. We'll go with Allie first.
Oh, I'm eating it. Eat it.
That makes sense. Kevin.
Eating the hell out of it. Eat it.
Bean, are you a cop?
You guys know I'm a complete teetotaler, but I got to tell you, sounds like a great opportunity to try it. And at that price, $4.20, I think you're saving money. I say yes, I'm going to eat it.
Wow.
Now, all the way across
Please
the
Please tell me they have a burger with the THC in it.
Yeah, well, that's
CBD's a waste of time.
Yeah, they do have the weed burger, but okay, you got to get it somewhere else. No. Unicorn Day may have been April 9th, but Chuck E. Cheese locations found a way to celebrate it that's just as special as the horned folklore itself. I'd like to introduce you to Unicorn Churros. These are not your average churros, as each order comes with a bright pink, green, and blue churro, each flavored like cotton candy, sour green apple, and blue raspberry, respectively. Oh, jeez. Cough up over there. And they're sprinkled with colored sugar. On Unicorn Day, they were free with every order of 30 minutes all you can play, which I didn't know they do at Chuck E. Cheese. But there is no word on any long-term plans yet, so I ask you, try the churros and take a ride on the unicorn to eat it, or just straight up don't believe in magic and beat it. We'll start with Kevin.
Eat it! Eat
it! He is a magical little man.
That's right.
Allie.
I'm going to beat it.
Beat it.
It made you sick?
It was the apple that just, I couldn't get past a sour apple churro.
Yeah, I did just cough up a bit.
Yeah.
Bean?
Yeah.
This is at a Chuck E. Cheese?
This is a Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, hell no.
Beat it.
You're doing that based on you have to go to Chuck E. Cheese,
yeah,
right?
Never going to Chuck E. Cheese for any food.
Okay, good. All right, over to Burger King for a second. Let's focus on their newest announcement. And this is just the name gets me into it. You ready? Mm-hmm. Honey Hot Chicken Sandwich.
Eat it. Wait, well, are we not answering yet?
Okay. The Honey Hot Chicken Sandwich. Testing in Boardman, Ohio only, the hotbed of food. It starts with a layer of honey hot sauce topped with a crispy fried white meat chicken filet, bacon, pickles, sliced onion, all sandwiched between potato buns.
Oh!
This will sell for $5.49, so I ask, mix the sweet and spicy to eat it, or cool it now like my favorite New Edition song. Eat it or beat it, let's start with Bean.
First of all, I'm a Mr. Telephone Man guy.
Okay, fair.
I don't eat the bacon. If you could take the bacon off of that.
You can't change it. He's asking a question.
I'm telling you, it's not for me, but that sounds delicious. I think that's a home run. I think the whole world will eat that.
Guys,
we're asking you.
Judgment.
Beat it.
He's not eating it.
Okay. Yeah, right.
He's not eating it. It's just eat
he just
it
wouldn't
or,
say it.
It's eat it or beat it.
Right.
Kevin, okay. Eat it or beat it.
Eat it. Eat
it. Bacon doesn't stop you?
No.
Okay, fair enough. Allie?
Bacon makes me drive faster towards it. Eat it all day.
All right, fair enough.
Jensen, it's so unfair when you do this segment because you bring these magical treats to us that are not available anywhere where we can get them.
I'm not stopping you from going to Boardman, Ohio.
Well, that's technically true, I guess.
It's one kayak search away. I don't think they have an airport. This past week, IHOP has done the unthinkable and introduced a brand new pancake into the mix.
What?
So may I debut the Italian cannoli pancake? An obvious nod to the famous Italian dessert, it features four of IHOP's famous buttermilk pancakes rolled up and filled with sweet ricotta and chocolate, then later topped with crushed cannoli pieces, chocolate chips, and whipped cream. Oh, a mamma mia! This will be offered for only a limited time and only at participating IHOP, so pick up a stack while you can. Paisanos, is this a deal you can't refuse, or are you giving it up with the kiss of death? Eat it or beat it, we'll start with Allie.
I'm going to leave the gun and take the cannoli. I'm going to eat it.
That's a Godfather reference because saw that
you
movie.
Out.
Okay, all right.
Check you out.
Well done.
Bean, what are you feeling?
I'm sorry. I have a policy at IHOP to only eat regular buttermilk pancakes. I don't want anything with whipped cream. I don't want anything with chocolate chips. I certainly don't want an Italian dessert. Pancakes are my favorite food next to toast, you guys. I want a pancake the way God intended it, just a pancake. I'm going to beat it.
All right.
You didn't ask me.
I am. I'm about to tell you.
Oh.
Kevin, what's your
pick?
Eat
it three times. Please play it three times.
You got it.
Eat it. There you go.
All right, Italian at heart. With the sun peeking out, it's becoming more and more clear that summer is around the corner and the good people at Krispy Kreme have noticed. Beginning May 6th, the fruit-inspired collection will enter our lives, featuring three all-new fruit-flavored, bright, colorful donuts. First, the pineapple donut, bursting with pineapple filling. So delicious, you'll think it's the tropics. By the way, I'm reading straight from the press release. Key lime donut. This donut is filled with key lime cream to give you tartness you crave, balanced with the sweetness of a donut. Strawberry donut, jam-packed with strawberry filling and decorated to resemble one of summer's tastiest fruits. These will be available through June 16th throughout the U.S. And Dave Skeena, chief marketing officer for Krispy Kreme Donuts, said this quote that makes absolutely no sense. Winter? No! Summer is coming! Come in and get an early taste today! What?
See, I think that's a Game of Thrones reference.
Oh, yeah. See? I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Despite this insanely stupid marketing ploy, pineapple, key lime, and strawberry donuts, eat it, or beat it, beat it, beat it. Kevin first.
Eat it, eat it, eat it. Eat it. I had no idea you were going to do three.
You almost didn't say eat it, eat it, eat it correctly. Bean?
By the way, Kevin has still yet to turn down
I'm going to start handing out like a raccoon burger. He'll say yes.
Just like with my pancake, I don't like people monkeying with perfection. I am. I do have a very pale palate. I'm going to tell you that Krispy Kreme donuts by themselves alone without mucking it up with fruit are fine. I'm a beat it.
Beat it. Beat it. Beat it.
He's the missionary position of food. Allie?
Here's the thing. Why are you acting like strawberry and pineapple donuts are new Krispy Kreme? They're not. The only one that's new to me is the key lime. So I'm beat it, eat it, beat it.
Beat it. Eat it. Beat it.
It's complex.
It's fair. I just turned into like a EDM DJ. Guys, that was the fast food report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the fast food report.
One of our favorite K-Rock bands of all time. In our studio this morning in the 8 o'clock hour, Garbage is going to be stopping by. They have a show coming up at the Shrine on May 16th. Tickets available for that now. And we're going to be giving some away with the group. It's been a minute since we've caught up with them. And I love them.
Same.
And I'm very excited. But my question is it really going to be them stopping by today?
See?
Or some sort of hologram?
See what you did?
Some sort of hologram, not even real.
Remember the Tupac hologram at Coachella?
Yeah.
Which was how long ago? What year did that happen?
I want to say 2015.
2012.
12, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, so it's been 7 years already since it happened.
On April 15th, 2012, 90,000 fans at the Coachella Valley Music Festival got an epic show by rap legends Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Dre brought together the hip-hop elite of the past 20 years. Eminem, 50 Cent, Kendrick Lamar. But Dre brought them one performance that truly blew their minds. He brought the late rap legend Tupac Shakur on stage in virtual form for a live original performance.
All right, so everybody knows it's a hologram.
It was like a huge moment.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, it was one of the greatest moments in the history of Coachella. And it came up again recently because Ali was doing a story on what's happening over the controversy of the Ronnie James Dio hologram that's getting ready to tour. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who just are defiantly against the idea of the dead touring. Jensen then just says, almost offhandedly, you know the Tupac wasn't a hologram, right? Kevin then said, I was there, mother effer. It was a hologram.
Oh, no, everyone asked on me.
And it was awesome.
Right.
And however, it was awesome, right.
It wasn't a hologram. So
correct.
So is the new one, are they holograms or not? Like, I don't know. This one, you do a deep dive into it and you find the company that did it. They worked on X-Men movies and a whole bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. It was all CGI and it was just projected on a screen.
So well, here, see, I'm confused and I need Jensen to break it down for me because my understanding, my limited understanding, because I wasn't there, I didn't see it, I didn't read as much about it probably as Kevin did, was that they took concert footage of the real Tupac and figured out a way to project it onto this mirror on the stage to make it look like he was standing there for people in the audience. And then they had some sort of a program where they were able to take his voice and manipulate it to say current day things like, what's up, Coachella? That was my complete understanding of what happened.
I thought you were
going
to be like, I can't believe the Sprint guy went over to another cell phone carrier. I thought you were talking real current. Okay, so here's what happened. I did a, you know, like a web series with Paul Scheer called Arsenio Paul, where we recreated Arsenio Hall scenes shot for shot, word for word, with people like Jordan Peele and Eric Andre and a bunch of other people. Now, we needed a Tupac lookalike for one of the scenes.
Right.
And so we made a call out to a bunch of different casting agents, and I got a picture of a guy who looked just like Tupac back. I said, well, we'll hire that guy. So when he comes to set, I go, man, you look just like Tupac. It's insane. And he goes, yeah, I've been getting a lot of work lately. I just did the Coachella thing. And I went, what? You just went to Coachella? And he goes, no, they used me for the hologram. And I was like, how's that possible? I thought they manipulated. He's like, no.
They didn't use Tupac?
Well, I think
at all.
Well, the body,
his voice, yes.
Well, yes, the body and stuff is clearly computer generated because that guy wasn't as buff, though buff, but not as buff as the 8-pack that Tupac had.
So his voice was real, but everything else was CGI.
Well,
including
the voice,
look-alike.
I think they've manipulated the voice to say Coachella, okay. Even though you know obviously he had never said Coachella. But what I'm telling you, and we'll get into the shadiness of just calling it a hologram. But I was told by the guy, and he had no reason to lie. He's like, yeah, they filmed me, and then they manipulated it to be what it was.
They CGI'd him to look like he was Tupac.
Correct.
So it wasn't, you know, I thought, like everybody else, it was footage of Tupac that they figured out a way to make into a hologram. Not at all.
The other part is, it is questionable whether you call it a hologram.
Right.
Because what it was a projection hit against a mirror, and then that mirror plays out to the audience.
To make it look like it's floating and it's you can sort of see through to give it a hologram look.
Yes.
But it wasn't at all.
When you're on the ride at Disneyland at Magic at the cast Haunted House, and you have the ghost next to you at the end.
Right.
Is that what they did?
That would technically be the same thing because it's
you're
coming
looking
off
at
the mirror. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had a ghost Tupac next to me one time.
What?
Oh, yeah. But the thing too
Kevin
is
Kevin almost believed it.
I will say because I did get an email when we first brought this up from someone who was like, I work in that field, it's very hard, but he kind of agreed.
It
in the
said
sense.
It cost between $100,000 and $400,000.
Wow!
Just to do this Tupac thing because the CGI was so extreme,
and it's clearly much better than the Haunted Mansion one.
Yeah, right.
I'm
right.
A little, yeah.
Right,
Jensen. Why the you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God. Stop lying. Why wouldn't they have taken actual footage of Tupac instead of hiring an actor?
Because in my opinion, and again, this is my business, they don't have like green screen footage of Tupac just walking around. They have footage of him at concerts, but nothing was shot in an ideal situation. In the same way that like video game capturing nowadays, like those things would make creating a Tupac from scratch much easier. But like, who was thinking of that when he was like walking back and forth at the keycard?
Here's the weird thing though, Bean, is that there's an engineer named Henry Dirks
who devised a method of projecting an actor onto a stage using a sheet of glass and clever use of lighting. And he came up with that in the 1800s.
Was that like the pepper effect or something?
Yeah. That's like the magic stuff.
This guy was still alive to do it with his Tupac actor?
This guy
he
that came
alive.
Up with it died
it was his hologram.
In the year 1900. He died.
Wow.
And they still use that for the Tupac, quote, hologram. It wasn't a hologram at all.
So question, Jensen.
Yes.
Do you think that the people involved, the company that Coachella hired to create this magic on stage, that again, as we mentioned, was very impressive to look at.
And expensive,
One of the all-time great Coachella moments.
Yes.
Do you think that they intentionally hid the fact that there was an actor involved in this to make the rest of us all believe that that was footage of Tupac?
Well, I have looked, we have all looked online since I've said it numerous times. And though there are sentences, like the company has been pretty quiet about the precise details, which is right here.
Right.
They do not say that there was an actor used. So I would assume I stumbled onto something that was not necessarily public knowledge. But I still think it was a cool thing.
I do too.
I just think that when you call it a hologram, I think we all were like, you know, this is revolutionary.
Right, and now who else is going to tour? Remember we were all saying all that stuff?
Yeah. Poor Rome from Sublime in Rome. Oh, he thought his job was over.
You saw the footage a few months ago of the Roy Orbison hologram that is touring, and it was 360. It wasn't just progressed against the mirror. I mean, the cameras could go all the way around the man standing at the center.
So maybe now they can do it for real?
Life. So I'm sure the technology has come a long way in seven years.
Yeah.
But you have just, I feel like you've kind of uncovered something, the untold story of the Tupac not hologram.
A true exclusive. A true.
A lookalike.
Yeah.
Who was filmed, and then they CGI'd it to look like it was a hologram of Tupac.
Or else it's actually Tupac.
One or the other.
And he's been hiding on an island for years.
I just hope that guy didn't sign anything. Like a non-disclosure, because you just effed, poor dude.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Over to you, Allie. What's happening?
Thank you, everybody, for tweeting me and saying, do you have any more Jeopardy news? And I say to you, I do.
No,
you'll like.
No.
But no.
It's from Alex Trebek. He was diagnosed. Thank you. He was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he gave a health update yesterday on the last day of taping of the current series.
Hi, everyone. Some of you may recall that at the beginning of this season, I promised you that we had some surprises in store for you. Well, of course, I had no idea at that time that there were some surprises in store for me as well. So here, on the last day of taping for our 35th anniversary season, I wanted once again to thank you for your continuing messages of encouragement and support, particularly the many cards I've received from young people. I'm touched beyond words. I've always tried to be straight with you, and I'm not going to stop now. So despite what you may have heard, I'm feeling good. I'm continuing with my therapy, and the staff, is already working on our next season, the 36th year of Jeopardy. So I look forward to seeing you once again in September with all kinds of good stuff.
One man's opinion.
Hey! I loved hearing that.
He's just the worst, isn't he?
He is the best, first of all. And I hope he just takes some time and really relaxes until September when we see him again. And that he comes back and he's feeling good.
See that chap over there? Okay. Get your hand off my penis! This is the bike who got me on the penis before.
He didn't say that. That wasn't him, you guys.
Do you think he could be a hologram? I think so.
It's too soon.
Oh, sorry. Mm.
Too soon. You guys, I was super excited to see video footage of Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, receiving, you know, some sexual gratification from a woman in a spa. Until yesterday, a judge temporarily blocked the release of that video. Ugh. Right?
That was Allie's Mueller report. Was that
yes, bring me the pixelation. Yeah, hearing is scheduled for April 29th, and the video will not be released before then. But Kraft's lawyers filed an emergency motion aiming to block the action after Palm Beach County State's Attorney's Office said in court documents that it would release the video footage showing Kraft and 24 other men charged after a months-long sting. So here's, A, we don't need it. Nobody needs it. We don't need to see old man peen. Who's with me?
I'm with you, and I agree. I'm no attorney, but I don't understand why that would be. I don't understand what the argument is to make that material available to the public.
Well, Florida has those laws that are unlike a lot of other states, where if you request, the media requests something, they have to put that out there. But the only reason that it would be good to put it out is because he entered a non-guilty plea. He said this didn't happen. Yeah, sure, he put out a statement saying, apologizing, but never apologized for that, and said there was no wrongdoing. He broke no laws.
Well,
so if
I think
they
it
put
should
out,
be introduced at trial.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying, yeah, just I don't think we need to see it.
Yeah.
Or I'm with you, want to see it.
What if it's the pixelation, though, is huge, and you're like, I had no idea, like a foot. Yeah. Right?
I think they should put it out in theaters. I don't like Hovercraft, so.
What if it was like right before Endgame? They're like, listen, we've got something
or,
special
for
you.
Or no, it's the extra scene.
the credits.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I hope it's another scene with the Hulk, and then Robert Kraft walks into a spa.
Oh, I hate it so much. But he denies doing it. He entered a non-guilty plea. Sir, there is video that they will release of you doing it.
Oh. So he's plead guilty.
Just plead guilty. He's such a liar. Yeah, such a small little man.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God. Stop f***ing lying.
A lot of lying going on today's show.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
Robert Kraft, Jensen, everybody.
Oh, please don't say our names together.
You guys, Mike Myers taking his skills as a cunning linguist global, thanks to Netflix. Very different videos being released. The streaming service announced yesterday that the beloved Austin Powers and SNL actor will front and executive produce a limited half-hour comedy series.
Based on Fat Bastard?
Set to debut sometime in the near future. He will play multiple characters across each of the as-yet-untitled 6 episodes. It might be Fat Bastard.
The return of Get In My Belly, right? The greatest catchphrase ever written for film.
Don't joke. I love that movie. Is that wrong?
I mean, sure.
What about So I Married an Axe Murderer?
Love that movie.
Right?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Yes.
I support it. I support it, Mike Myers.
Great movie, but that's, yes. And Wayne's World, great.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Austin Powers, great.
Yeah, maybe in the first one.
Love first Guru. Couple.
Love
Guru, not
Love
Guru's wonderful.
A hit.
Not so much.
Some birthdays for you guys. Rick Moranis, Eric McCormack, James Woods, Conan O'Brien, David
Asshole.
Tennant.
Whoa,
nope.
Geez.
America Ferrera, Eli Roth. What? Speaking of liars, right?
Right.
Remember, Eli Roth, what we were getting for Thanksgiving? Because we do. And the fact that you keep just dilly-dallying around. He's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm swimming with sharks and stuff. Remember? Did I waste enough time for you to find it? Hit
Thanksgiving.
It.
White meat. Dark meat. All will be carved.
I mean.
Said he would make it.
He didn't.
You'll come home for the holidays in a body bag.
I mean. Will we?
Hello.
This year, there will be no leftovers.
Yeah, there will be no movie, Eli Roth. Happy birthday, Chloe Bennett. You haven't lied to us.
The Kevin and Bean 11th Annual April Foolishness is happening a week from tomorrow night at the Microsoft Theater, and the spotlight should rightly be on the great comedians that are donating their time for this event for charity.
Sorry to announce that we had to cancel the Kevin and Bean rap battle.
No, Kevin, unfortunately, that's not true.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
But let's give it up for Ray Romano and Adam Ray, Felipe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift, and the great Jamie Lee. We are going to be battle rapping, and Jensen gave us some homework last night.
Yeah.
Kevin and I each had to write our own battle rap.
Apparently, I did it poorly.
Yeah,
by ourselves.
Just guess which one didn't do the format correctly.
About a co-worker of the Kevin and Bean Show. So we are going to be live rapping once again, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. But as we do every Thursday at this time, Jensen, the floor is yours.
Guys, I'm getting you up on things that you don't know about yet or things you may have missed. This segment is Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up.
On this.
Get up.
Guys, I'm very excited to talk about a movie today. I met the writer-director, Laura Steinle, who I forced to come in today to talk about the movie.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
I guess years ago, when I was working over at a production company, she was our general meeting. It's a thing where we just hand you a water bottle, and then you talk for 5 minutes, and you never work together. And so I was like, oh, she's so funny. And I think we had kept in touch slightly on social media, and I was always excited to see what she was going to do next. And
I thought we became friends.
I guess that.
Clearly, you're
he didn't say that.
Got real sad.
I guess that is
he
friends.
Didn't say that yet.
We had different opinions. All right, great.
I guess that's friends. And she put in, she basically sold a bunch of scripts in a very fast amount of time, which was awesome, and everyone applauded. And
never to be done again.
Stood up and freaked out. But the thing that I was most excited about is a movie that comes out this weekend here in Los Angeles.
Oh.
It is called Family.
Family.
And you guys, it's like the Insane Clown Posse family.
Oh, really?
So yeah. Here's the
all
thing.
All in.
This movie is about an emotionally stunted aunt, right? She's almost like a mess of a human being in her professional life and her personal life. And she is put in charge of her teenage niece. And it's all scripted. And she, more than anything, wants to finally connect with this niece who's also, I guess, like an indoor kid. Is that what you would?
Total indoor kid.
Total indoor
makes
kid.
Makes weapons of nature.
Yes, out of
loves
sticks.
Chicken parm.
Right. Loves chicken parm sandwiches.
Me.
And it is a great movie, earnestly made, about a relationship between a young child and a struggling adult. And the one thing that they can find in common is that she wants to go to the gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, my God.
And the outcast feelings of the aunt and the outcast feelings of the niece are kind of similar.
That's a great synopsis. You really...
I did it.
You connected to the film.
And Laura, where did it come from? Where did the idea come from?
Well, I had been writing another movie that didn't get made, so, you know, can't have it all. And then, there were some themes in that about women in business and women in this sort of workaholic lifestyle. And I was like, all the fun movies I get to see messy people, they're always guys, like Bad Santa was like the funniest thing when it came out. Why can't women play those kind of messy roles? And so I wanted to write something like that. And also have it be like a sweet comedy about family and how dysfunctional families are. So while I was writing it, I also stumbled upon a documentary about Juggalos.
Did you go?
Well, yeah, we went. I'm like looking at the thing. I went after we had shot the movie. So
good research. Curious
so,
timing.
Yo, I did it wrong. Let's be clear.
You don't understand research, Laura.
No, I did not nail that part. But no, we had a bunch of we built a set, which to build a set of The Gathering is like a joke. Jensen, you know this because
yes,
you went to The Gathering.
You went too. Yeah. I did. Yeah.
And we shot a safe version of The Gathering with actual Juggalos that came to be in it as extras. We couldn't pay them, so they came like on their own, and they were so sweet, and they camped out in the cold. And then we just didn't have enough set and people there, so I was like, we're gonna go to the real gathering. But Taylor Schilling is the star of the movie, and her life
whoa,
is...
Whoa, from Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Yeah, the cast is incredible.
Cast is
Taylor
great.
Schilling, Brian Tyree Henry, who's a favorite here at our
yes.
show.
Yes,
Kate McKinnon.
Stop it!
I love.
And also another friend of the show, Matt Walsh.
Matt
you
Walsh.
You kind of buried the lead a little bit, Laura.
Hugely
no,
buried the lead.
No,
it's like a good movie. it's like Jensen's not like being nice. Like, it's a good movie. I'm not like that good of a friend.
Guess who else is in it? The Insane Clown Posse.
And Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J.
Crazy.
In it. Yeah, also they came to Atlanta to be in it. That's how much they liked the script.
And they're promoting it. They're on their Twitter account. They're telling everybody it's coming out this weekend.
Yeah, they're very wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Can am I allowed to say the other cameo, or is that a secret?
Who's the other? Oh, Natasha Lyonne?
Natasha Lyonne is a Juggalo.
Yeah, it's the greatest moment of cinema.
Makes sense.
It is a great cameo.
By the way, I didn't give her any lines. All those lines in which she made up herself. She created this character, Rebecca the Juggalo, and recreated all this line. Like, she's just incredible. She goes for it. She's really
Can
awesome.
I play a small clip? This is
yeah.
This is of Joker. This is of Joker explaining... this
baby
is a,
Joker?
Baby Joker.
Yeah.
This is a kid that becomes friends with a niece explaining to the aunt what being a Juggalo is.
So, Baby Joker, you say you're a Juggalo.
Oh, no. Juggalo. We're fans of the band. This ain't Clown Posse. Juggalos are all about, like, no judgment, you know, because everybody's a freak at the core.
Juggalos are a family. A family of freaks.
Yeah, we get a bad rap because some Juggalos be beating kids up with monkey wrenches or burning down schools and but the real Juggalos help you. You know, we live and die by the Juggalo code. Better respect a sucker. Whoop! Whoop!
This is it a family pizza shop.
Well, I don't know what the Avengers are, but I will see this movie 10 times.
It is so fun, guys. And also, I guess, and maybe I'd like for you to talk on it. It's like a lot of these movies are like gross. You think it's going to be gross out humor. You think it's not that at all. This is like a normal family comedy. Hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I just kind of wrote what makes me laugh, and that's people falling apart. So I stayed within that. And the thing that's really sweet is like the Juggalo community is kind of messy and terrifying, but at the same time, they have. Like, they're really wonderful when you get to know them individually.
Yeah.
We didn't have any money to shoot at the gathering, so I had to go by myself with some camera friends. And I just put on her wig and her costume.
Taylor's
wig. And we just shot me from behind. So, like, they were super nice to me and super helpful. I remember I stood up on stage and, like...
Oh, my God.
And I asked them...
That would have freaked me out.
It was terrifying. But I asked them to, like, boo me and do stuff for the movie. And they were so helpful until they weren't. I think I got about like two and a half minutes of, yeah, we'll help you out. And then it quickly turned into, who are you? Get out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, like, where's Blaze, your dead homie?
They start throwing Faygo bottles
at me. Yeah, I went on before like Waka Flocka, and they were like, get her out of here. And there were just bottles being thrown in my head.
So tell people where they can see it this weekend.
Okay, so this weekend you have two options. You either live in New York and see it at the AMC in the 30s.
That's very convenient for our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Or you live in LA and you come to the Century City Mall, the AMC there mm-hmm. at the Century City Mall. But then hold on to your seats because we open up next weekend on the 26th, much wider, and it'll be in a bunch of cities there.
There's already a review from a listener. It gets two whoop whoops way up, so that's pretty huge.
You have now created the most, other than Big City Rustlers and Big City Hustlers,
great.
The two ICP movies, you have now created the most endorsed film by the Insane Clown Posse and Juggalos.
I'll take it.
Congratulations.
Nice. Thank you.
Guys,
way to go, Laura.
Go see Family. That is my get up on it.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up,
on this.
Get up,
get on up,
on this.
Get up, get on up.
All right, we need some ground rules. Nobody goes to HR afterwards, okay?
Yeah.
For starters.
Okay,
that's
good. This is all in creative context.
Jensen, you are the producer and one of the writers of Drop the Mic on TBS. Mm-hmm. It's a battle rap show.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of experience with this, and you're trying to bring your proteges, Kevin and Bean, along in time for our battle rap next Friday night at the Microsoft Theater.
Proteges.
Yes.
Give us some to explain what the assignment was, and then give us some advice before we rap live on the radio again this morning.
Okay, well, recently we had you guys rap over beats kind of in a karaoke way, and you guys were both extremely impressive.
Yes.
Everyone who watched was totally surprised.
Well, it was Kevin M. and Cardi Bean.
Yeah. I will admit I was pleasantly surprised. So now the next step in this training, I'm sort of your Mr. Miyagi.
Okay.
Is to,
wax on, wax off?
Exactly. So now we need to work on the disses, to work on the insults. So what I asked you guys to do is to pick one person from the staff and write three verses. Kevin wrote two. about one person. So take someone and let's diss them for what would be three verses of 8 bars each. Let's see what happens.
All right. Okay. So, Bean, who did you choose?
Well, I chose...
Oh, do we want to play...
It's up to you. What do you want to do? I mean, you tell me.
I mean, we have the production for it, so we should play that first.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Live on stage is the Kevin and Bean rap battle.
Oh. Aggressive.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean...
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God, that last one.
It is a battle
of extreme.
The yeah, I don't know. The last shot was not worth it.
I chose an actual friend of mine on the show. And by the way, I don't want you to do the math, but I only really have two friends on the show.
Oh, no. So,
and it's Chip. And I'm worried that I made a mistake here because I hoped that Chip and I would be able to remain friends. And I fear that after this, how can I... Jensen, help me out here. This isn't personal, right?
It's too damaging is what you're saying.
No, this is all in fun and games.
Okay.
And they don't really mean anything. These are jokes, and that's kind of the fun of it. At the end of these battles, people hug. They get
well, maybe not them because of his dream.
Right.
Yeah. Chip's
but the
still
fun part about this is that Chip doesn't battle back.
Right.
Just attacks.
That is a bit of a problem.
Okay.
And then she
right.
does.
So
nothing.
We're doing it a cappella. This is how rap battles are done now. But we're going to do it with a beatbox when it comes to April Foolishness.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
all
do
right,
it if there wasn't
so
a beatbox.
So my understanding, since Kevin did not complete his assignment, is that I'm going to do my first 8 lines.
Yes.
And then Kevin is going to do his. And Kevin, who did you pick as your target this morning?
Ruben.
Oh.
Who answers
old man
the,
Ruben?
Who answers the phones for us, old man Ruben. We thought he was super young. He's like
75?
Yeah. Yes.
And we're all hired shocked. Him
as an intern. Right. And we thought, oh, the kid's going to college. And
the
then
kid.
We found out he has grandchildren.
Maybe he's in high school. We don't know. Right. He's got like six grandkids.
This is a tough week for Ruben. It's also tank top week.
Tank top week. Yeah. Well, he earned that by wearing a tank top after Coachella.
That's right. That was my fault.
So we're going to go back and forth, and I guess this is where I can't stall any longer, and I have to have to start. All right, Chip, I want you to know I love you, okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh. All right. You used to work at Disneyland where you got the nickname Chip. There, along with Dale, you used to entertain the kids. You had to wear that full body suit to protect the children's welfare, because if they saw you out of it, you'd scar them all with nightmares. Wait a minute, what am I saying? You know it's not like that. You know I had that dream one time and all that that begat. It started out with you and me and our romantic dinner. It ended with sex fireworks, and we made you a spinner.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
First off, he used begats.
You gotta rhyme with something.
Begat and then spinner, though. You gotta give him all credit for spinner.
I apologize for my white man flow, you guys.
Good.
I'm really
good.
Embarrassed.
You got a style, man. You got a style. Listen, this is good. Kevin, you're up, bud.
All right, Ruben.
All right, I'm here.
All right. Our friend Ruben is sometimes... Okay, I'm going to start over. Our friend Ruben is someone who stays on the down low, but he works at Kevin and Bean, and there are things that you should know. We thought he was 17, too young to vote or get a gun, but we were shocked when we all found out he was at least 101. You say, oh, I also drive Uber and usher celebrities through town. I think you're too old to drive and use a walker to get around. I saw you at Coachella. It looked like you were having fun. I didn't see you go to bed and take your teeth out when you were done.
Oh!
Son, where'd you find this?
Pretty good. These guys. Did that hurt?
Nice.
Did that hurt?
You know what? Those old jokes, man. Every time. Twist and I.
All right. Back to Bean.
I think we're lucky that Ruben can't hear so well.
That does help. Yes.
All right. Chip. You only play the bass because it's the easiest instrument, but every band you're in breaks up. Can that be a coincidence? Ooh. Well Hung Heart is the latest one you're worsening lately. It's just a matter of time before they replace you with some lady. You say you love punk rock, and yeah, you're perfectly branded. See, you're socially distorted, a misfit, and you're rancid. Mm. So wave that black flag and give up your blank 182. The Offspring is your favorite, but they want back their tattoo.
Oh! Damn. Fatality.
Wow.
Jesus. I'm sweating here, you guys. I'm sweating.
Why are you sweating?
So a week from tomorrow night, we're going to be doing this against each other, against Kevin and
Bean. Let's not think about
show.
That.
Yeah. This is heat.
All right. Kevin, I guess
for Ruben.
You're up next with poor old man Ruben.
Yep.
You're always pretty quiet, never talk, always around. I'm guessing you can't see, can't feel, and can't hear sound. You don't move much. You don't seem that hyper, mostly because you can't control your bladder and probably wear a diaper.
Ooh. Good.
You don't have a girlfriend.
Good run.
I got a good.
Good run.
You don't have a girlfriend. There's no one to bone, but that's because the women aren't hot when you get back at the rest home. Ruben, you look like a kid, have a mohawk, but your age I don't trust. Your balls are probably leather, and your sperm is probably dust.
Wow.
That was really
good.
Did
you hear him, Ruben?
I did.
Here, I'll show you. You can read it later.
Yeah.
You can read it later.
Oh, I'll get his glasses. Okay.
This is what's tough, Justin, and I've seen this on your TV show so many times.
Yeah.
You don't want to come back from that last one.
You know?
Like, I feel like I'm really against the ropes here.
It was a great final line. Both of you guys have shown... I mean... I'm blown away again.
Oh, right. Shut up.
I am. I'm telling you, we're at a better place than I am with a lot of celebrities. Rob Gronkowski. Okay. Bean, you ready?
Final bars.
Yes.
Chip, I'm sorry in advance. You're actually adorable, but apparently not a catch. So says Tinder, eHarmony, and Matt. Cupid said not okay, and Bumble said no bees. Have you considered fish tacos instead of ordering beef? I know that things haven't been going so great at home ever since your folks walked out and left you all alone. At least your cat loves you. Whoops, here's the paradox. Mr. Pickles is trying to kill you to bury in her litter box.
I feel like Bean's insults just get personal.
Yeah. I think Ruben got away easy.
What?
I don't know. Listen, here's what I'm going to say.
Bean won again?
No, I actually am going to say I think Kevin won round one with his rapping on karaoke. Mm-hmm. That's my feeling.
Uh-huh.
Bean won today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
My parents would agree.
All right, we're giving tickets away for April Foolishness with your pun jokes.
Kevin.
Call with your pun jokes.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the Energizer
Bunny. He went to jail. He was charged with battery. I mean, this is what we're talking about.
That's my point.
It was so fun yesterday. We're doing it again today. If you want to join us at Kevin Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness, you can buy tickets still on sale for as low as $30 at AXS.com, or you can win them right now. Allie, you weren't here yesterday, so you missed Omar's big intro.
Excited.
It's called Everybody Have Pun Tonight.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Kevin hates him. He thinks it's not right.
So we'll have some puns tonight.
Come on, Kev Dog. It's going to be so punny. Very funny.
Okay. So 1-800-520-1067. We're doing the knockout round again today. It was a very controversial winner yesterday.
Because you both suck.
Let's see how it goes.
When guy worked in supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and you guys didn't pick him.
Well
said. Easy for you to say.
That's what I'm saying. That's a difficult thing to say, and he worked it into a pun joke.
Let's see how Jacob and Elmonte does to get
You're
us started.
Purple.
Jacob and Elmonte, hi.
Holla.
Oh, holla indeed. All right, we're taking puns for April Foolishness. If yours is the best, you might win this thing, but if somebody comes along and tops you, then we have to hang up and say goodbye. What's your pun?
All right. My doctor prescribed me orthopedic shoes, but I didn't think they would help. Now I stand corrected.
Everybody have fun tonight.
I mean, by default, he's the winner so far.
He is the winner so far. He's the leader.
It wasn't too bad.
Really?
I think it was okay.
Sylvia in West Covina.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your pun joke?
Okay, a friend and I were going to go camping, but then we realized it would just be too intense.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Am I the only one laughing?
I liked it.
I love that.
Oh, my God, Allie, do you like all of them?
That's my point.
Sylvia. Where are you, Jensen?
I'm Jacob.
Kevin?
I mean, I think I'm still Jacob.
Okay. Ooh, we got a tie, though. Chip, you're going to have to be the tiebreaker.
Jacob.
Still, I'm sorry, Sylvia. We voted for you. Nothing we could do.
The judge has made a different decision.
I mean, too intense. You guys don't get it?
I get it.
Reed in Redondo Beach. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Not good. We're telling we have pun jokes. How do you think we are?
We're doing great, and we can't wait to hear yours.
All right, here's mine. How was Rome split in two?
How was Rome split in two, indeed?
With a pair of Caesars.
Everybody had fun tonight.
Little history. I think I'm still Team Jacob, though.
I'm Team Jacob.
Team Jacob.
Allie's okay. Laughing every time.
She loves this.
Twirling her hair.
She's like, I would have paid to see this.
Yeah.
Tom in Cyprus. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
Well, pun jokes is what's up. What do you got?
I got you. Did you guys hear about the psychic midget that escaped from prison?
No, tell us about him.
He's a small medium at large.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Going Tom.
I mean,
I'm going Tom on that one.
It's a classic, but it still holds up. I'm down with Tom as well.
I'm going to stick with Jacob.
Allie?
It is a classic, but Jacob's I had never heard, and it made me laugh.
Guys, right, we have four Chip. Judges. This Chip. Is a terrible system.
Well, I don't want to vote with Bean now, but Tom.
Tom, all right.
Moving on.
Congratulations, Tom.
All right, Tom takes the crown. Sorry, Jacob. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Melissa in Azusa. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Melissa, we are playing for April Foolishness tickets, so you can be with us at the Microsoft Theater next Friday night. Let's hear your pun joke.
Awesome. Okay. The guy who invented throat lozenges died last week. There was no coffin at the funeral.
Everybody have fun tonight.
Team coffin. I'm team coffin.
Team coffin too.
Kevin and Dean laughing for real.
No, I'm laughing at Allie describing it to me because she doesn't think I understand.
Way to go, Melissa.
Melissa is in the lead, you guys. This is savage.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Let's go to Alex and Downey. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning. Hey, hiking sucks, guys. Don't forget about that. But my joke is what do you call two Mexicans playing basketball?
All right, I'm very concerned where this is headed, but we'd like to find out.
Okay, it's Juan on Juan.
Juan on Juan, right.
Okay. Everybody have fun tonight.
I love that both of your responses were okay.
Okay.
All right. Melissa. Well, again, it's a classic. Okay. I mean, we've all heard it.
Melissa, moving on.
I think we're still Team Melissa. I think we only have time for one more. I'm
no.
sorry.
Oh, that's
a shame.
This is so great. We'll do it again tomorrow, but we just have time for one more now.
Okay. Taylor in Orange, good morning.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello. You have a pun joke.
Yes, I do.
Let's hear it.
Are you DNA ripped? Because I want to unzip your jeans.
Well, come on now.
Not a pun. Not a pun, technically.
Let me tell you about our friend Melissa. Let me tell you about Melissa. She is going to be seeing Ray Romano, Adam Ray, Philippe Esparza, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie If, Jamie Lee. Surprise guest still to be announced, and the Kevin Bean rap battle. We'll see you next Friday night. Way to go. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being punny. And thanks for playing Everybody Have Fun Today.
I love Melissa so much.
Everybody Have Fun. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
So we've all agreed puns again tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Hey, guys, Allie's here with What's Happening, like we do on a Thursday. Dr. Drew Pinsky later on, and the band Garbage, one of our all-time favorites, joins us in studio just after 8 a.m. So tell all your friends, don't miss Garbage on the Kevin and Bean Show coming up next. Allie, take it away.
Guys, this suicide... What?
Huh?
How's everyone?
Nope.
Pretty good. This Suicide Squad movie that's going to be coming out in 2021 is shaping up to be pretty good, right?
How much do we want to hear about 2021, you guys?
Well,
just in general.
Listen.
It's
when
not
you've
even
got
next year.
Bean, when you've got Idris Elba in a Suicide Squad movie, I'm going to talk about that all day long.
Agreed.
And playing a new character. He's not even playing Deadshot.
I just don't know how many of our listeners will still be alive in 2021. Yeah. I'm
then,
just saying.
Wow.
I mean, it's 2 years from now.
It's pretty harsh. You know, what do you know about our listeners?
I don't think Ruben's going to make it.
Well, I mean, he's 104. Margot Robbie. Are you kidding me?
I'm in.
James Gunn is not only writing, he's directing the movie, right?
Yep.
What if I then told you John Cena might be joining Suicide Squad?
All right.
Right? I'm so into this, you guys.
Same.
John Cena, Idris Elba. Woo. And when you think about the original Suicide Squad movie that came out in 2016, and it wasn't so much as...
Good, it wasn't good.
Good, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know how much it made worldwide?
Yeah, tons.
$746
Did it
million. Dollars.
Really?
I was shocked when I read that, too, because everybody kind of thought it was a bust.
Wow.
It certainly wasn't. $746 million worldwide.
Don't
That's crazy.
Get hung up, then, on that quality thing.
You're right, right? Ray. You are right. You guys, few sentences more alarming to a fan community than there's been a leak. You don't want to hear it when it's one of the most highly anticipated movies to be coming out. We're talking about Avengers Endgame.
Don't want it. Don't keep it away from me.
I'm not going to spoil anything. Okay. But the film set to have its Hollywood premiere on Monday, followed by press screenings Tuesday, then a wide release Thursday night, has managed to stay one of Hollywood's best-kept secrets until just a few days ago when footage was leaked, popping up online on Monday. After the leak, Endgame directors, the Russo brothers, penned a letter, just like they did during the Avengers Infinity War ramp-up. They asked fans not to spoil the movie. They didn't say anything about the leak, but they said, when you see Endgame in the coming weeks, please don't spoil it for others the same way you wouldn't want it spoiled for you. Remember, Thanos still demands your silence. I mean, that's aggressive, right? That's terrifying. So, yeah, don't be Googling Avengers Endgame to see those spoilers unless you want to see a spoiler.
I do not.
No, nobody should. This is weird. So, you know, Wendy Williams, she's just been dealing with stuff left and right, and she filed for divorce from her husband of 22 years. Maybe this is a weird thing to bring up on your show. She told viewers this week that she's already getting asked out. Here's her quote. The invitations for social events keep pouring into my phone and stuff. They really do. I was minding my own business last night, reading my book. You know I love to read. And all of a sudden, my cell phone rings. Like, Wendy, chill out. You've got your own show. You're going through some things. You don't need to prove to us that people
hey, everybody,
still want to date you.
I want to go out still.
She could also take a day off.
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. I mean, she's working right through this. And
yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. It is a lot, for sure. Oh, guys.
Did you hear who the call was from?
She
was Charlemagne the God.
She said dates have come in from DJ Boof.
Really? Yeah, that's
who
a guy.
Works on her show and Charlemagne the God. Isn't Charlemagne married?
Charlemagne's not married.
Really?
Mm-mm. Really?
I swear he was married.
Well,
unless he's recently divorced.
He's calling.
Shall we work that out here on the air?
Yeah, let's look it up.
I'm going to call him.
I'm almost positive Charlemagne the God, unless he recently got divorced.
I'm petitioning the state of New York for some records, some paperwork, and it should be faxed over shortly.
Excellent.
No problem. Remember Dina Lohan, that man that she was dating for 5 years that she met on Facebook, but she never met him in real life?
Never met face-to-face,
And I told you Monday, don't worry, you guys, they've broken up.
I was very sad about that because it sounded like it was true love to me.
Well, don't worry because they're back together.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
He said, me and Dina got back together. Intense love sometimes gets intense. And then Dina Lohan added, we're great. We found love. Gushing all over the man, you know, that she's never met in real life.
That may or may not exist. Might just be a bot.
Then he said, she's in my blood and is in my heart. Even when I was mad at her all weekend, I had this equal feeling of love at the same time.
That's high praise.
I can't stay mad at her. I never loved anyone till I found Dina. Well, that's real sad for real humans that he supposedly dated to be in love for the first time ever with a woman you've never met.
Whoa.
That is
this
really
whole thing strange.
Is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is insane. And you heard what his pickup line to her was at the beginning, right?
What?
And you, sir, are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
I mean, I'd be in, right?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, real quick.
What? Oh. Update?
He's married.
What?
Which to me makes for a weird phone call to ask Wendy Williams
out. Unless Charlemagne the God was calling for someone else.
Oh.
Which is what I kind of assumed it was, because, again, I knew he was married, because I got the pulse on hip-hop.
Oh, shit, the way she
well,
did
just
it.
Just jazz hands.
Established. So sad.
I'm not sure.
That was the least hip-hop thing I could
it
ever said.
It was odd.
Said.
I'll give you that.
No, and I'll come back and haunt you later as a drop.
Yeah.
I've got the pulse.
Just saying.
That sucked.
It's the birthdays for you guys. Rick Moranis, Eric McCormack, Conan O'Brien, James Wood, David Tennant, America Ferrera, Eli Roth, and Chloe Bennett. Suck you, Kevin! I would die for you.
I mean, I was up late counting last night, and the number that I ended up with was over 17 million albums sold and 7 Grammy nominations. Ladies and gentlemen, they are back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Give it up for Friends in Garbage!
Yeah, yeah,
guys, how long has it been? A couple years maybe since we saw you?
Oh, my God.
3 years, I think.
Has it really been that long?
I think so.
I don't know. Okay. Next question.
We're all too old to
Shirley's
answer that
just
question.
Wants us to move right along.
Yes. I just feel like we probably have missed so much. What have you guys been up to?
Well, the new album, of course. Oh, wait. What?
Oh, wait.
We're working on a new album.
You are?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Wow.
A new album.
That was harsh, Kevin.
I'm saying I want a new album.
Way to start with a complaint. What about what they have done for us, Kevin? Not what they haven't done for us.
I want a new album. That's all I'm saying.
You're getting one.
Okay, good.
We're in the middle of making it right now.
Okay, good.
Last night I went into a garbage deep dive because I was so excited you guys were coming on. And I hope this isn't a, I don't mean this in an insulting way. I feel that people slept on Strange Little Birds. I feel like that was a great album that should have been every bit as big a hit as all your other albums.
Thank you,
Dan. It's so good, you guys.
We think so.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm very excited about the new music that you're making as well. Now, you've been touring a lot. I know that.
We have.
And you're doing the Blondie thing this summer?
No, we're doing our own. We did Blondie 2 summers ago.
Blondie, okay.
Yeah, we played the Hollywood Bowl here and a bunch of places all over North America. That was a really fun tour, by the way. Has Blondie been in here? Because they are so rad.
We've had Debbie on the show before.
Funny. They're just super
really?
Cool. We did last fall, we did our 20th year of
That's not possible.
Version 2.0.
20th,
yeah.
Come on.
So feels like 25 to Butch.
It feels more than that. Feels like more than that. We did all the songs from version 2.0, plus all the B-sides, so that was real fun. And now we're just going out to play some of our own shows and play some festivals this summer, May through July, so... we're looking forward to it.
Including the date, May 16th, by the way, at the Shrine Auditorium. Tickets are on sale right now.
So excited.
Started for as low. That's a wonderful venue with so much history. Tickets, by the way, as low as $19 at garbage.com.
Is that true?
Are you guys trying to lose money?
Why am I so cheap? What's that?
That does seem unfair.
You need to jack that price up some. $29, $39.
AXS.com is where you want to buy the tickets. You know, it's interesting, Butch, you mentioned the 20th anniversary of version 2.0. I know that you guys kind of went back in and remastered the first two albums on their 20th anniversaries. And I'm wondering what that is like for you. Do you just update it because the technology has improved? Or are there things about the original mixes that, like, bug you after all those years and you kind of want to go back and
you
fix
need
them?
To tinker some more.
Well, left to my own devices, I'd still be tinkering.
You would.
Yeah.
You'd still be working on the first album if it were up to you.
You know, I've never been happy with a mix, only happy when it rains. It just drives me crazy. And it's
Wait,
too
seriously?
Late. Seriously? Yeah.
It really is too late.
What?
Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late. You got to let it go, man.
Because we did, short story, we did a rough mix of that was, I thought, was perfect, but then we went back and mixed it about 10 times, mm-hmm. and it never got as good as the rough mix. And why didn't we just put the rough mix out?
You didn't know. Still have the rough mix?
I think it was only mixed to DAT, and we wanted to print it from analog tape or master from analog tape.
So would me, a guy whose ears aren't particularly sharp, if I listened to my original copy of, say, the first album and then the 20th anniversary remaster, would I hear much of a difference?
Yeah, I think
really?
You would. I think the technology better in terms of mastering and how they translate analog into the digital world is way more improved now than it was 20 years ago.
Do you listen to your own stuff on vinyl?
All day long. Can't get enough of yourself.
Can't get enough.
No, but for reals, is that your chosen format?
Yeah, for reals.
Yeah, the band.
We're not buying. I don't believe anything Shirley's saying.
Not a word.
Because she breaks into laughter after every sentence.
Cappuccino kicking in.
I didn't have a turntable for many years, and the band gave me a turntable several years ago for my birthday, so I started going back and pulling out my old collection, and it's great. I love the experience of it. I love it that you get about 20 minutes to sit with a side of music and, mm-hmm. and just not, you know, focus your attention on anything else. And
Butch, it's cool. All people, not to have a turntable. What's going on?
I know. Well, when I moved out here, I've been out here now for about 14 years. I kind of purged all my stuff in Madison. I left a lot of stuff at Smart, which we then, Steve and I, closed the Smart Studios doors. And now I've slowly been reacquiring all the stuff that I purged.
All right.
That doesn't seem like that's how it's supposed to work.
I know, yeah.
If you were going to have the stuff, you should have just brought it out.
I know, yeah. Okay. That's the way it goes up. As human beings, we are collectors.
Agreed, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And all of us have too much stuff, as I'm finding out as I'm preparing to move, as I just don't know how to get rid of all the stuff I have. I just don't. Shirley, where do you live mostly? Are you mostly in the U.S. or mostly in Scotland?
This is awkward.
I mostly live in the U.S. currently.
Oh, really? That's a surprise.
Like, where
to me.
Exactly?
What?
What's the address?
That was really creepy.
Do you feel that you're missing out on all the Brexit excitement by being in America?
Oh, I'm so relieved I'm missing the Brexit nonsense, to be honest. Everyone I know back home is literally pulling their hair out.
Yeah. It's miserable.
So you're staying here where no one's pulling their hair out. That's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the best, better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Everything's going great here.
Yay!
The band Garbage is in studio, by the way. We're talking about, among other things, the Shrine Auditorium show coming up on May 16th. Tickets are on sale right now, AXS.com. I have a question that came up in some of the prep I was doing yesterday about The World Is Not Enough, which I don't know is a song that we've ever talked to you guys about. Is that one that you do in the set usually or no?
Well, we just did it because, as Butch explained earlier, we did the version 2.0 20th anniversary show, mm-hmm. and we were playing that every night. So, to be honest, we're not going to be playing it this time around because we're trying to change things up, you know.
Sure. Understood. Yeah. I just wanted to know, what's it like, because I don't know anything about what extra is involved when you get picked to do a James Bond theme. I would assume it's very different because you have other people that have to kind of sign off on your work rather than being your own gatekeepers. Mm. I mean, how does something like that work? Or do a bunch of people have to kind of approve it before it gets put in the movie?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like it sucks.
It did.
Frankly, yeah.
And do they give you a lot of, do they give you a format or a formula, a lot of rules that you have to follow to write the song so that it's Bond-esque?
Well, we didn't actually write that song. That was written by David Arnold and
Don Black.
And those are James Bond composer guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And but we they allowed us to have our way with it a bit. You know, we kind of garbageized their version of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that being a verb.
Yeah. Garbageized.
Yeah. Strong. Garbageized. Yeah. Yeah. Just came up with that.
Nice.
Does it seem like a tremendous honor, though, when you look at the people who have gone before you as Bond themers and you go, wow, we're part of that canon now?
Yeah. It was huge. At the time, it was huge. We were so excited. We've kind of, gotten over the excitement now that 20 years have passed. But it was amazing at the time. And it's also fun to have in our sort of discography. I mean, it's pretty, it was an honor.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rare artist to get the opportunity to do it. Yeah.
It is indeed.
All right, Garbage is here. We have many more questions for y'all. Can we get you anything? Hot towels, mints?
We can take care of that.
Some
off
fluffers,
here.
Please.
Both of those.
Anything we can do for you? Okay. We'll hook you up and come back more with Garbage right after this on K-Rock. I put up a tweet last night that the band Garbage was going to be in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and hundreds of responses and reactions and favorites and everything.
Which we don't normally get.
No, not on our account.
Oh,
but
please.
I knew that you guys were popular, but I didn't realize how many people consider you their very favorite band. And I bet you hear that a lot, and I bet that never gets old.
Hundreds.
They all wrote in.
I mean, look, it's one thing to say, yeah, I really like that band. It's another thing to say, you're literally my favorite band. I mean, you probably, because you idolize musicians, too, you have favorite bands, too. It still must be weird for you to hear people say that to you, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, the strange thing is, there's no other band, for better or for worse, like us, and so we obviously have a really devoted following,
Mm-hmm.
We've been around a long time, so we've sort of grown up with people and their lives have changed along with our lives, and that creates a really weird, tight sort of bond, I think, for fans,
Definitely.
Is it weird when they come up and say that to you, though? You know what I mean? Like, I worship you guys and you don't know them? Like, is it a little awkward?
It's not awkward. It's always weird. I mean,
yeah.
But it's never awkward. It used to be awkward. I think when we were younger, it felt really bogus, really embarrassing.
It felt bogus.
And now,
like, no way, you would say?
Yeah, kind of. I was embarrassed. And now we've been around long enough, I feel at least like, yeah, I get it. You've listened to 6 of our albums,
yeah.
and I get that,
Yeah. Yeah, people have grown up with you for sure.
Yeah.
Shirley, you said something, maybe it was on Twitter, maybe it was an interview.
Oh, God.
And I have to bring it up. I really do.
You're the one that said it.
And I know that I know that people hate it when they say something, especially if it's offhanded, and then it becomes a talking point for interviews. But I was so fascinated with your reaction to the fans who love Billie Eilish.
Mm.
Oh, I saw that, too.
I was so surprised by what you said. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Okay,
Would you recap what your tweet was?
Yeah, because I feel really strongly about this. I mean, by the way, this has nothing to do with the quality of Billie Eilish's music, which I think is great. She's great. That is a given. She's great, clearly.
Very talented.
Very talented. And making a unique sound, with her brother. And that's all wonderful. What gives me the heebie-jeebies is how there is this bizarre appetite for younger and younger white girls. It scares me. I don't like it. And, record companies are falling over themselves to sign young girls at the age of 12. I'm sorry. I think that's sick. End of story.
So, in other words, even though an artist like Lorde or an artist like Billie Eilish might be a teenager and have music ready to go, you think record labels should say, hey, come back when you're 21?
I think they should be left alone until they're 18. So that they can explore who they are and what they are. So that when they do finally get out into a public situation, they're a bit more prepared for it. I mean, it's intense. I mean, make no mistake, look what happened to Britney, look what happened to Michael Jackson, look what happened to Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. There's something that goes terribly wrong when a young child is given that much social power.
That is a really interesting point. I'm glad you explained that further, because all of that wasn't evident in the original comment. So when she starts putting up stuff on SoundCloud, which is kind of how she got known, you think record companies should have kind of backed off and just let her do her thing and grow up first?
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, what I think is irrelevant. I can't change a system.
No,
I'm
but
just
you're
saying I don't
but
agree
you're
with
coming
it.
From a point of view of somebody who knows, because you know how you would have felt with the kind of the level of fame that you achieved. Had you gotten it much, much earlier, it might have been very detrimental to you.
I'm sure it would have been. I mean, like I say, let's just see where the stories all end. That's my point. That scares me a little.
And it's a whole different ballgame now with social media and everything. It's heightened
everything. Yeah. I couldn't even imagine being a child with social media. I don't know what I would do, let alone being a famous child with social media.
Especially a woman, especially a teenage girl.
And there's something uncomfortable for me. Now, a lot of people disagree with me, but I'm just saying there's something repulsive about hearing a 40-year-old man sexualize a 16-year-old. That makes me feel a bit sick.
Can I say that that's my favorite album of the year, though?
Of course you can.
Okay. But just check. I want to make sure that...
You sounded gross when you said it.
I don't want to go south of Shirley.
But do you understand this is... I am not talking about music here.
Right.
There's
agreed.
More at play than just the music.
Yeah,
people
agreed.
Seem to forget. It's people's lives, you know, and that's what bothers me.
This is why I asked, because I knew that you would have you would be coming from a place of thoughtfulness. This is why I asked you about that.
Thoughtful. I just have a fierce opinion.
But I will also say that people like Kevin and people like me, who are maybe perhaps way out of the demo of who should love Billie Eilish, we both love her, but in no way are sexualizing her.
I'm not suggesting everybody is. I'm okay. Just saying there is a vast swathe of people who do. And they do it publicly, and it makes me sick. There you go.
I can see that.
I'm not
going
to justify
okay?
my position.
I can
That's
see that.
Opinion.
How much I love Taylor Swift. Is that okay? Because she's almost 30.
I feel like you're messing with me. Yeah, of course it's okay. No, but it's not favorite. A laughing matter in this current climate.
Understood.
Women, young women need protected, and I will do my very best to do that. Everyone else can do what the hell they want.
That
I'm just telling you that's my perspective, and nobody's going to change my can mind.
We don't want to, and I'm actually glad that you put it out there, because that is a side of that story that I hadn't thought about.
I say Shirley 2020, if that's even possible.
I feel like I've darkened the room.
Not even a little bit.
So
you're among friends, and
we're just
having a conversation.
I know, but I get so fierce about this, I can't help myself.
That's what you
why
should.
We love
you're
you.
Coming
yeah.
from a position not only of someone that knows how the industry is, you're coming from a position...
It's a nasty
it's
industry.
Disgusting. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
I support you, Shirley.
We do too. You
Let's
know,
be happy and cheerful.
Okay.
The three
gents in the band all have daughters.
Yes,
so we're well aware of everything that Shirley's talking about.
Do you guys know any good puns?
Or do you read poetry?
Butch, I know you say that you're working on a new album. Do you even have time to do other people's work anymore?
I do. I just finished Silver Sun Pickup's new album.
Yeah,
no kidding. We just played that new song a little while ago.
And thanks for playing it. I think it's a great record. And they're awesome people. We had so much fun. We did most of the record at Billy's studio. Our engineer has a little studio in Atwater. And they all live in the hood there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've known them for a long time. We did a record store day release a couple years ago with Brian, where Brian and Shirley did a duet. And... I just felt kind of like a natural thing to work with them, as I said, because we've gotten pretty close to them. But.
Do you think, with all of the technology that's available today, what it would have been like when you started, when you were making music, you know, early 90s?
Gasp.
Kids can make an album in their bedroom now.
Well,
on their
phone
album.
On their phone, they can make an album now.
And we made this record a bit guerrilla style. They're self-financed. You know, it's distributed through a major. But, you know, like everybody these days, trying to keep really tight budgets. So we did a lot of pre-pro at my home studio, which didn't cost anything. And rather than track right away, we started with Brian cutting the guitars. He recorded the acoustic and electric guitars first.
And that's different than you've done in
the
past?
Yeah, a lot of times you go and you record the band live and you go for the drums and bass and whatever. But we did it backwards. We cut all the guitars and keyboards. Then we went back later and did the bass and drums. And
why?
So really just to be efficient with our use of studio time. So... But the band was up for it, and I think the record is great. It's very, it's quite eclectic stylistically. There's a lot of sort of different areas they go into in the songs, and I think it's probably their best record. Of course, I'm
great.
Not prejudiced at all.
I feel like if Butch doesn't...
As a whole, I think it's maybe their best record.
If Butch doesn't work on your album, what are you even doing in music? Right? Like, every album, it's like, oh, Butch Vig worked on this. Of course he did.
Do you guys still get a thrill playing live?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love playing live.
Yeah.
Of course. And the reason I thought to ask that question is because I know how, and Butch, particularly with you, I know how particular you are about the way things sound, and nothing can ever be perfect enough. And I just wonder, you give all that away when you get out there and it's live and it's sweaty and it's in the moment. But you're able to kind of turn off the producer-engineer side, and just the musician side carries you through.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. A live performance is unpredictable. And I think that's why it's so unique and great and kicks up our adrenaline every night.
Yeah.
If it was perfect, it would be really effing boring. You know?
And highly unusual.
And it would be highly unusual.
I mean, we saw that at Weenie Roast 4 years ago.
Oh, my Very God, unpredictable. Allie, come on.
It was the greatest moment I've ever seen on stage.
It was amazing.
Shirley fell off stage mid-lyric. You wouldn't know unless you saw her fall because the song just remained. Everything's fine. She was lifted back up.
She kept singing the whole time.
You wouldn't have known that she fell.
It was supernatural.
It was amazing.
Was like, what kind of voodoo is she practicing?
It was a bit superhuman, superhero style.
It really
it was amazing.
Until you look at the footage and then I don't look like a superhero at all. I look like an absolute clown falling off a stage.
Right, but you kept singing perfectly.
I sure did.
That's the point.
Well, you can see garbage at the Shrine Auditorium. No guarantee Shirley will fall off the stage again.
Oh, God,
but it's
going to
be a great show on May the 16th. I cannot believe tickets are still available for this, but get on this immediately. Do not sleep on garbage at the Shrine. AXS.com or garbage.com. Tickets are only $19 and up. And by the way, one of the great live bands. We've been lucky enough to have them play a bunch of K-Rock shows.
We also have 5 pair to give away.
Yes, we'll get to that. And you will always have a great time at Garbage. And we're going to have 5 pair to give away. Dirk, pick a number to start with.
Duke.
Pick a number?
Duke, 24. All right. So callers 24, 25, 26, 27, and 28. You will win tickets to go see Garbage at the Shrine on May 16th. Give us a call right now and enjoy yourself. Guys, let's not make it so long before we come in. Have you come in again?
Right on. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drupinski coming up right after 9 a.m. Talking about Britney Spears, who has been, what, Jensen, kind of out of the public eye now for 3 months?
Yeah, since about January.
Okay. And may be in a mental institution.
Well, she's definitely in a mental institution.
She tweeted about that.
Yeah, sure. Her family has stated that. It's about when she went in and how much, you know, it's saying that she put herself in. That seems good. There's a lot of stuff going on with her.
A lot of questions.
Yeah. Seems shady.
And the conservatorship, too.
That's the main thing, yeah.
Fully understand. So Dr. Drew is going to bring us up to speed. If you all love Britney like we do, that's a conversation you will not want to miss. First, though, Allie's got what's happening here on a Thursday.
Guys, SNL is shaping up to go out with a bang this season. First of all, we know that Adam Sandler is returning to the show to host for the first time on May 4th.
Allie?
Yeah.
You don't watch SNL.
No.
They do have a great booker. They have, in general, they have outstanding hosts, outstanding musical guests. That doesn't mean the show is good.
Absolutely. No.
Like Emma Stone hosted this weekend, and she's great. It was one of the worst Saturday Night Lives I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
And BTS being so boring didn't help.
BTS? Boring? How dare
Super
you?
Super boring.
Wow.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She is passed.
Did not appear. So, I mean, I'm going to get excited along with you as to the names you're about to read, but I just want to remind you that it doesn't mean it's going to be a great show just because it has great people.
Yeah, I'll say this about SNL. I haven't watched it in a very long time, but I will watch the clips the next day if people are like, did you see that? I'll watch that
clip. How often does that happen?
Like maybe twice a month. Like there's one clip. Like one clip per show twice a month that people are excited about. And then I watch it and I'm like, really? That was rough.
The funny part?
Why am I talking out the side of my mouth? So Adam Sandler, Shawn Mendes, May 4th. Then they have enlisted Emma Thompson along with a little band called the Jonas Brothers, recently reunited. They'll be on May 18th. And then the finale, the big closing out of SNL for the season, will be Paul Rudd as the host, who, I mean, could he be more delightful?
He's 50 years old.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
That's crazy.
Best looking 50-year-old ever.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He will be joined by musical guest, DJ Khaled.
McDonald's. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. We loving it.
Mm-hmm. It's the best thing he ever did were those McDonald's ads when he was a
DJ. Maybe he'll do those on SNL.
I hope so, because otherwise he's just
that
yelling
mm-hmm.
that he's in a song.
Yeah.
That's all he does.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
He's right behind Mr. Worldwide for me. It's just being worthless.
I'm down for Mr. Worldwide.
Worthless.
I think I'd put Khaled above him.
But you're joking.
No.
That's annoying, right, Allie?
I'm not joking. I put Pitbull very much above DJ Khaled. I like Khaled a little bit, but I think that Pitbull is way more fun than Khaled.
Oh, he's
yeah,
the worst.
Khaled's just annoying.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they're both terrible. Back to you.
Where would you put in a hierarchy? Where would you put James Lipton in that?
Well, I know I can speak for Kevin. Top, the best, A plus.
What's your favorite curse word?
Shut up.
Get so mad.
I have no skills. I love it so much.
All right, guys, it'll be the last time I bring it up today.
No, it won't.
Here's the thing.
Come on, I say the J word again.
Come on now.
So last week.
No, come on. Please. We're begging with you.
James Holzhauer from Jeopardy.
Come on.
Canceled.
He won a huge.
Oh, yep. You're having trouble with your mic,
guys. Guys.
You know, I mean, come on now.
This is a big deal. Oh,
what?
No. This is bad. This is bad. I don't like it. All right.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to do it.
Excellent.
A guy on a game show won a lot of money. That's the whole story, Allie.
No,
that's
it's the not level. The whole story.
That is. A guy on a game show won a lot of money. Period.
Oh, man.
We're starting to report on his ties and his, like, jackets and breathing patterns.
No one's reporting on that, although he really is coming into his own.
I'm
really is.
Unbelievable.
All right. Happy birthday, Eric McCormack, Rick Moranis, James Woods, David Tennant, America Ferrera, Eli Roth, Chloe Bennett, and God bless you. Such a wonderful human being, possibly the greatest.
Who is it?
Mr. Conan O'Brien.
He is a prolific, if you will, liar and killer and murderer.
He's none of those things.
I don't think he's any of
those.
I don't even think I can afford a Dr. Drew cameo anymore, Jensen.
It's going up.
I mean, it was $99, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
$120.
And then?
$150.
What's happening?
The stock is rising.
Dr. Drew, do you just not want to do those cameo videos anymore? So you're trying to price yourself out of the market?
Very insightful, Bean. My wife is the cameo creator and manager. She's the one that put me up to it, and I was like, I'm not so sure I should be doing all these things.
Dr. Drew,
I'm increasing the price anyway. I'm like, well, all right, okay.
Drew, what's the worst one you've had to do? Like the most meaningless one.
Or dumb.
Or dumb, yeah.
I don't know that I can come up with. I've done, like, so many now. It's ridiculous. But I actually feel good about the ones that are meaningless. The ones that are, like, bar mitzvahs and birthdays and things. That's the most fun.
It's so crazy for folks who don't know. Cameo is a website where you can go and you can pay low-level celebrities to say whatever you want them to say for a price. and that's Dr. Drew.
And if you want a slide whistle, you go to Andy Dick.
That's right, Andy Dick. All right, let's turn our attention to something more serious. Jensen brought me up to speed a little bit off air yesterday, and I'm going to confess, Dr. Drew, that I knew very little about what's been going on with Miss Britney Spears this year of 2019, but apparently she's in a bad place. First of all, is this something you've been following as well?
I have been a bit. More, I see it in context of the longer story of her mental illness. If you remember when she was, you know, jumping out of cars and shaving her head and maybe, you know, had a substance use issue, we really don't know exactly what was happening there. She was severely mentally ill. She had bipolar disorder. Her life was unraveling. She got into the hands of a very fine psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist had the family put her on a conservatorship, and that literally saved her life, literally.
True.
And the fact that she's had no real serious bumps or decompensations since that over 10 years, that's nothing short of miraculous to me.
No, I agree. It seems like she had a very healthy relationship. She's been doing great with her kids. Obviously,
yes.
She kept a schedule in Las Vegas where she had her, you know, where she had her residency. She never missed a show. I mean, by all accounts, she looked and sounded and felt great for a long, long time.
Yeah, it did appear. I mean, if you go by some of the stories, it did appear she did have one flare up in 2010, but they were able to jump on it immediately, which is great. And now it seems like there's a new one.
If you are not under conservatorship, what happens when you have these flare-ups is you start thinking, you know better, I don't need to take my medicine, you get paranoid about people around you, and you end up on the street, typically.
Yes.
Now, and so the fact that she was under conservatorship was exactly why they could jump right on it, take care of her, get her back to health. And believe me, when people unravel and then are restored back to health and people did not help them, they're pissed.
So
the people on the street, when you get them back into treatment and sort of to show them what the condition they were in. They're right. Like, who the hell let me deteriorate like that?
Right. So, so just to bring everyone up to speed as to what happened this week is that someone seems to have leaked out something from within their lawyer. It's a verified account from someone who worked at the law office, saying that basically she wants out of the conservatorship. And my thing is like, how, based on like Amanda Bynes not being able to get one and a bunch of people who've tried, you know, parents have tried to get conservatorship, how has she been able to have it for so long? It seems like she's went on world tours.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary, but it's absolutely a model for what people should be doing with conservatorships. I mean, it shows you how well it can work and how much can be gained from it in terms of people's lives being saved.
And what happens when the dad, I mean, because we've heard that the dad is sick, et cetera. What happens when the dad dies? Like, who takes over the life of a conservator?
I think that's why things are unraveling. I think she probably sees that coming and doesn't want to have a sort of state-appointed conservatorship. I mean, that's, I think, is something that she probably perceives as unpleasant, though the state-appointed conservators can be quite effective and quite professional.
Yeah, the one quit last week, which his last name, which is by far the best name for a lawyer ever. Wallet is his last name. he had quit.
But that's what makes me wonder: are they pushing this conservatorship too far? Mm-hmm. Is that why? Is there an ethical issue here where they've actually hit the limits of that line between somebody's personal freedoms and their well-being? Because the fact that she's done so well for so long. Great, you know, that's fantastic. And if now she wants to try to do it on her own and somebody won't let her, I'm kind of uncomfortable with that. So I'm wondering if that's what the attorney was having an issue with.
Yeah,
so
it seems
ultimately
like that.
A psychiatrist will decide whether she is well enough to not have a conservatorship, right?
No.
The legal system does not listen to mental health much at all, in spite of claiming that they do. Some really probably a judge will make this determination, really.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, it might cost her life. But the fact is, because these are dangerous illnesses. These are dangerous illnesses. But, I mean, she's done well for 10 years. She wants to try it a while on her own. Maybe there's some contingency plans. I mean, I'm all for that. With it, the horrible thing is what happens. You asked the question about Amanda Bynes. That's the really interesting question here. Is why can't other people get conservatorships, for Christ's sake?
Yeah.
Why does Britney Spears get a special dispensation? And we should be much more liberal with our use of conservatorships to save the lives of all the people languishing on the street.
That's a very good point, and I'm glad you brought that up as well. I mean, Britney is obviously a high-profile example, but there are lots of people who could benefit from having somebody look after their best interest.
Drew, the only one I could even think of when I went to do research before this was Casey Kasem, and that was really controversial, too. And that dude didn't even know where he was.
Right, and so isn't it interesting that we have no problem saying, well, a three-year-old can't possibly take care of themselves. The parents are essentially the conservators. Mm-hmm. Well, a demented patient, well, of course, they need a conservator. But somebody whose psychiatric illness makes them think, believe, and reject help, be so unable to care for themselves, they end up on the streets, well, that's their personal freedom.
Yeah, and I guess the questionable line comes in the fact that she works a lot and makes a ton of money.
A very interesting wrinkle, right?
Yeah.
And that, in my experience, treating patients who are celebrities, or particularly musicians that get out on the road, that is always the thing that actually undermines the ability or our ability as mental health professionals to complete the care. They want to work. They like working. Yeah. It's gratifying to them. Look at Wendy Williams. She went right back to her.
Yeah,
that's what we call the flight to health. But it prevents people from really doing the work they need to do to get well from a mental health standpoint.
Great point, as always, Dr. Drew, and we appreciate your time. You can hear more with The Good Doctor on 790 KEBC this afternoon from noon until 3 o'clock. Also, the Dr. Drew podcast available at drdrew.com, including the OG, also the Adam and Drew, the Swole Patrol with Mike Catherwood, and the new Dr. Drew After Dark with Tom Segura. And you can see a doctor in the comfort of your own home with the Heal app. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you think, with all of the technology that's available today, what it would have been like when you started, when you were making music, you know, early 90s? Kids!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
In my head, that question sounded fine.
Do it again.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you think, with all of the technology that's available today, what it would have been like when you started, when you were making music, you know, early 90s? Kids!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
He starts it with, like, do we need all that?
Kevin, goddammit.
That was pretty strong. I can't believe Garbage stayed. I really can't.
Right?
If you missed our friends in Garbage, they were here last hour. Definitely check out today's Kevin Abid podcast wherever you get yours. And don't forget, tickets are on sale now to see Garbage in concert at the Shrine. That is a show you absolutely do not want to miss. Tickets start at just $19. Garbage.com, AXS.com. It's May 16th at the Shrine. All right, Allie is here with our final look at what's happening here on a Thursday.
Can a man sit in jail after he violated his probation by having ammunition in his home? Can't he sit in jail and at least not have to worry if his home is being robbed? Right? Like, what are we doing as a nation? A man can't even sit in jail without his house being robbed. What is going on?
We don't know.
You tell us.
Soulja Boy's home in L.A. was burglarized while he's sitting in jail, you guys. Not good. He's being held in custody until at least the end of the month. Again, he had a probation issue by having ammunition in his home. That's why he's being held there without bail. While he's been sitting in there, a caretaker for his residence reported the burglary to police on Monday night. And when the authorities arrived, they found that the thieves had allegedly made off with over $600,000 in cash and property, including jewelry and a phone. And as if that's not enough, they logged on to his Instagram account and they were bragging about it.
No.
And if that's not enough...
Kidding.
If that's not enough, they were also reaching out to his famous friends, claiming to be signees of his label. Like, hey, you want to listen to this jam? Check it out. I just did this music. What the heck?
Have they moved in?
That is bold.
Did they get signed?
Not yet.
I guess Soulja Boy's doing a lot better than I thought he was.
Yeah, $600,000.
Yeah, not bad. And his house is in Agoura Hills.
Good area.
Good area, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, 818? Right there.
I did recently off air, we were talking about Soulja Boy, and I said he's having a good year, which
you did,
now is proven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By getting robbed? That's how good his year is going?
Yeah, they're looking. They're really looking for all the superstars.
Why do people leave like $500,000 in their house?
I mean, that's where
do
they
banks
live.
Not exist?
Yeah, that's also not like the weirdest thing Soulja Boy's ever done. So
okay,
I mean, living in Agoura Hills,
right?
Is up there,
there was a, and I hate this trend. Remember, it happened to Yasiel Puig a couple of times, but there was another Major League Baseball player last week. I think maybe the Cardinals. They're on the road.
Yeah,
knew he was out of town.
Everybody knows. Yeah,
house and stole everything. I mean, it's becoming really dangerous to be a celebrity and have your schedule be public.
Yeah.
And who warned everybody years ago about always giving an Uber driver your incorrect address? Make it be a few houses down, because when you leave to go to the airport and you've got luggage, guess what they know? You're not going to be home for a while. And just in the news recently, Uber turned right around after they drove someone to the airport, robbed the person's house.
Pretty smart.
Many of us have family members at that house, though, who can keep an eye on our stuff. But you're saying the Uber driver would look at you and go, oh, yeah, totally single and living alone.
I don't think that's what she's saying at all.
She's so sad and lonely.
I don't think that's the point.
I'm saying it was a very smart piece of advice you gave our listeners, Allie, and I thank you for it.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
Thanks, Bean. You guys, I don't know about this story. It's all so insane, but the media had gone after the Palm Beach County State's Attorney's Office and said, hey, we want to see that video of Robert Kraft getting, you know, sexual services at a Florida day spa. And they said, all right, no problem. And it was about to come out, you guys. We were going to see that video until a judge temporarily blocked the release of the video. And thank God, right? Who's with me? No one needs to see old man peeing right now.
I don't care who it is. I don't think the public is entitled to see evidence like that. Having said that, by the way, if it weren't for the human trafficking aspect of this story, I have no problem with that being two consensual adults doing whatever they want. Services for money is fine. It shouldn't even be a crime.
It shouldn't be, but it is illegal.
Yes,
you know
it is
that.
Currently, yes.
Here's the thing. I feel like if Robert Kraft hadn't been so adamant that not guilty plea, I didn't do it, and then
you think that worked against him?
Video,
yeah.
If there's video, it's on video, Robert Kraft. I don't know.
Can I tell you why it bothers me? Because people in his position that did the same crime that don't have the money won't have an attorney to fight to keep the video out. Like, it's just not the same playing field for him.
Right.
So I want him to have the same, you know, embarrassment that anyone would have if they didn't have the dough and resources to pull these people.
What are you doing?
Oh, can I not
you
say that?
You can say that word. You were fine with peen, all right? God. Can we go back to peen?
Oh, my God, Allie. Unbelievable.
I hope delay worked.
Wow.
Otherwise, the kids just got a lesson.
Wow.
Look it up.
Casey's just in that room shaking her head.
She's shivering.
Right? She's thinking about it, too.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Okay. Stop making my sons horny. That's what I'm saying. You guys.
That's not excellent, my dudes.
She went from to oh to You want me to pee on you? I've never felt my boner go away so quickly.
What if I lick my dog's butt?
Great question, Jensen. Good question, Bean. Let's definitely work it out on the air.
What's happening? Wait, was that live or was that on air?
Well, it's your voice, so you tell us.
Well, that was Allie's voice.
That was me. And it wasn't live. That was... Play it again.
Come on.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Do you think, with all of the technology that's available today, what it would have been like when you started, when you were making music, you know, early 90s? Kids!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Kevin, goddammit.
Did you think that Allie's voice was my voice?
No, it must have been played just before Allie's.
Okay. That was Jensen's
voice.
It's
tough to...
Kevin, you're such a disease.
I don't pay attention.
I can't tell what's live and what's tape anymore. I just
right?
can't.
Kevin doesn't listen to
I haven't
show.
Been on the show for a year. Did you guys know that?
It's all tape.
It's all drops.
<He's> fantastic.
You should do an episode of just you as drops.
Oh, interesting.
Like, pre-tape, do the whole thing, and then we can only depend on you for what is in your machine.
Right. I got you.
He's got enough for a week of that.
That might be fun. No, he's saying I record myself saying things, and those are the only reactions I'm allowed to have to whatever story. So Allie will be talking about Jeopardy, and I'll be like, those sound like delicious muffins, because that's all I've got to hit.
I like it. Let's do that tomorrow.
Let's do it tomorrow.
Well, maybe not tomorrow. But,
let's stay on later today.
No, he has to. He basically has to now build a library.
Yeah, I need to record like 100 different sound bites, right?
Okay. That'll take you 5 minutes?
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do that in the future. That'll be something to put on the calendar before I leave.
Friday's the future.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Good job, Kevin.
I got a sick puppy to take care of today. I don't have time for that.
Oh, that really brought down the room.
Playing the sick puppy card.
Right. I am.
That's what he calls his...
Well, yeah, why don't you say it again?
Don't say it. No thank you, Mr. Pecker.
All right, let's wrap it up. Happy birthday to Eric McCormack, Rick Moranis, James Woods, David Tennant.
Conan O'Brien. No, sir.
America Ferrera, Eli Roth, Chloe Bennett, and Edgar Wright, you guys.
He's kind of dope.
He totally is. Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, The World's End, Baby Driver, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Dude's just amazing.
Agreed.
That's what's happening.
No Conan O'Brien?
I already did it.
Oh, all right. I wish
she slips it in. She doesn't give us time.
And what about Conan O'Brien?
He's the best.
All right, back to you, Kevin.
That guy. What do you need him for?
On your drive home tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, Nico Hurtado will be on the program with us. He's the guy that's going to be doing the tattoo on Bean. By the way, Bean just told us off the air.
Yeah.
That he's reconsidering, although he's going to go through with it, that he just thought of something that he had never thought of before that might be a huge negative.
Really?
Yes, I was 100% in on getting my tattoo. I still plan on getting it on Monday, and that's where we're talking to Nico tomorrow.
but I thought of a reason why I shouldn't.
Like the queen starts throwing around the N-word or something?
That doesn't seem likely, but...
That means he'd get a second one.
She stayed pretty clean for 92 years. Yep. I think she's good, but there is a reason we'll discuss tomorrow.
Oh, okay. You sued a family member on tomorrow's Kevin Levine Show.
I love this.
Keep it 100 because it's Friday, and we've got your April...